How do you describe it?
I can't. I'm at a loss of words. You don't like to see a tournament end on a miss. You know, I hate that. And Louis, a champion, and a friend. But I'm grateful. I'm humbled. I'm thankful. I'm honored. I mean, this is the birthplace of the game. And that jug means so much in sports, specifically this tournament and golf. So it hasn't set in yet, Tom, I got to be honest. But I felt great. I mean, I felt great. I was patient. I had some scripture going in my head, and I thank the Lord. I thank my friends. I thank my family. I'm just in awe right now.
Let me take you back to the putt on the 72nd hole.
I think what this does, if anything, is really puts things in perspective for me, more so than it already has. I mean,
why?
Because I play golf for a living, and I'm grateful for that. It's a beautiful game. It provides great opportunity, and I'm a product of great people.
Congratulations, champion golfer of the year.
I'm a mess. Sorry. Thanks.
Now, not everybody is into sports and not everybody's into golf, but last Monday, Zach Johnson won the British Open. Really, golfers just call it the Open. We have to distinguish it for, you know, non-golfers. But I was thinking about my sermon prep. I went and watched the end of the tournament on my lunch break. And then I stayed for this interview. And while Zach's from, you know, smaller town, Iowa, you know, he went to Drake like Hadley and played golf at Drake like Hadley Jennings. His dad's shouting right now. And you know, but he's also a real strong believer. And pretty, you know, vocal about it, but not obnoxious about it and not awkward about it. You might not have even noticed how he just kind of slipped in the normal part of his conversation about how he felt so good and how he was so patient. And he attributed it just so quickly that you might have missed it. He said, but I had scriptures going through my head. And he thanked the Lord. So go ahead and open up in your Bible to Proverbs 4 today. But I thought, wow, Zach. Now the Open Golf Championship, Zach Johnson won the 144th Open Championship. The 144th. So there's probably, maybe other than World Cup soccer. And again, I don't know even know how to rank these. I didn't look it up, but the Open Golf Championship might be the most prestigious sporting event to win in the world because of its age, because of, you know, all of the history and so forth. And to be a great golfer, you have to have mechanical things, physical things, obvious. But golf is more mental and emotional and so forth. So it's this weird combination in golf where you have to be very relaxed, very carefree, but you have to be extremely focused, which is almost polar opposites. And so I'm not saying that God wanted Zach Johnson to win the golf tournament more than other people, but Zach Johnson practiced today's message and put himself in position to win the Open Championship. Because he said, I felt so great. I was so calm. I was so patient. He had prepared himself mentally and emotionally to put himself in position to win this extremely challenging event. And he had to win it in a playoff. A four-hole playoff. And he birdied the first two holes. That's like insanity. And finished under par and won the tournament. And so I just want you to think about how that he had put himself in position by really following the Word of God. So if you'd stand together with me, Proverbs 4, and we're going to place high value on God's Word today, and that's why we stand for the reading of God's Word. Verse 5, Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Let's pray. Father, may we pursue wisdom as instructed from this passage, from the writer of this proverb. May we value wisdom, and may we value understanding. May we exalt wisdom and promote wisdom in our lives. Father God, I pray that we would, in all of the pursuits of our life, that we would make this pursuit of premium value, and that then we will reap the benefit and the reward of finding wisdom and understanding. Teach us your ways today, we ask, so that we could do it, so that we could be doers of your word and not hearers only. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. The language here is so rich. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget. Don't turn away. Love her. Love wisdom. Are you following this? Exalt her. Exalt understanding. He in every way possible is trying to impress upon this younger reader. I'm just telling you, your life is going to work so much better if you pursue the route and live by wisdom. So the question would be then, where does one find wisdom? Where are we going to find this wisdom? If this should be our lifelong pursuit, well, there's a few places that we can find wisdom. Number one, in older people. I was leading a small group discussion, and part of the discussion was how much wiser the individual is today concerning marriage than when they started off in the 90s being married. And how they're so much wiser now than when they started. How many of you can just agree with that? You're just a little wiser than you used to be. Wisdom comes with age. So if we're going to pursue wisdom, then one of the things that we need to be pursuing is relationships with some older people in our life. I'm still young enough, there's people older than me, so I can still pursue that. But some of you in the room have almost reached the top of the mountain, so you are our pursuit. And Michelle and I have been married, 30 plus years. We have children, ranging from the upper 20s to the late teens. We only have one teenager left. And so we understand some things about parenting that we didn't know 30 years ago. And so I'm saying, if you're going to pursue wisdom, now, not every older person is wise. It takes time to gain wisdom, but time alone will not grant you wisdom. It needs to be the pursuit of your life. You can just be an old fool. But I think there need, and that's what I love about church, is because church puts us in a position to have friends of every kind of age. And I have found, and one of the reasons when we're putting our groups together, we don't make those like by age division, is I found that people don't break down by age. They break down, and I don't mean break down, but they gather together more by affinity. And what I find is there's people younger and older that really like and enjoy one another. And if you're older, and I'm older than a lot of people in the room, when you're older, one of the things that would be wise is that you would include younger people in the circle that you're running in, because there's a perspective, there's an energy, there's some wisdom that comes because of their different experience of life that you can never recreate. You know you're old when you say things, now back when I was a kid, my kids start bracing. They know it's coming. They see it boiling within me. When something is happening that I don't think is appropriate, and well, it wasn't that way, and you could just see their eyes rolling. They're going to hear, back when I was a kid and we used to have to walk places, and back when I was a kid not everything was handed to us, back when we had to work for a living and all this kind of stuff. But we can't recreate that world as much as you'd want to. And so some of us older people need to, I mean, we just don't really understand how the world works anymore, because it's a younger people rule the world. And you need some younger people in your life to help you figure out how to navigate. Because I'm not finished yet. I was talking to somebody else before service, and they were talking about, you know, how, and they were older than me, and they said, you know, they went to church and they were the youngest people there. That's not good. When somebody in their upper 50s or early 60s is the younger people at church, because that church is in almost extinction. So a wise pursuit would be, as if you're younger, you need to be pursuing older people, because there's some wisdom that you just don't have, and there's not enough experience in your life, and you need them in your life to help you navigate through certain challenges. But if you're older, I'm telling you, you need some younger people in your life. The other thing, if we're going to pursue after wisdom, is obviously from God's Word. It's amazing how that we keep discovering things scientifically. We keep discovering things that was already, God already spoke about it and was already in His Word. The Proverbs themselves give us such wisdom on how to deal with life, how to deal with relationships, or a right relationship to work, a right relationship to rest, and all kinds of other things. So God's Word itself, the Bible. And that's one of the reasons that we try to make so many different tools available to you. There's a discussion guide on the back of your planner today that's related to today's message that you can go through and you can study these things out for yourself. You know, how is it that Zach Johnson had Scripture in his head? It didn't just accidentally get there. It was a pursuit of his life. And so through that pursuit, he purposely put some thoughts from God's Word in his mind, and it kept him in a mental attitude. It kept him calm. It kept him in a good place. It kept him patient. When the elements were extreme in this tournament, it kept him in a place where he could win the tournament. And so that was wise. God's Word. The other thing is, as I found in the wisdom, you know, pursuit of wisdom, is that there are people that have expertise that I know nothing about. You know, by this time now, we've been involved in a lot of building projects and remodeling and just building from scratch. But when Michelle and I, over 18 years ago, were building our home, we were completely inexperienced in building. And so I would ask experts, what should we do about this? Or what should we do about that? And over and over again, subcontractors and suppliers and different people would say, well, you know, if it was my house, this is what I would do. Well, I thought, well, they're the expert. So if that's what they would do with their house, then that's what we're going to do with our house. And it turned out pretty well. Obviously, there's always things that you would adjust and do differently. So if you're struggling or you have some desire to have information in your life, then there's people that are experts. If you're struggling in your marriage, you know, there's some marriage experts in the room. They probably don't consider themselves marriage experts, but you just observe their life and you go, man, they've been happily married, it appears to me, because you can't fake it forever. Come on, somebody, you can fake it for a while, but somebody that's been married, you can count the decades that they've been married now, and they still look like they're enjoying each other's company, and it looks like their children still enjoy them and want to be around them, that sort of thing. You've probably found somebody that has a good marriage. And if you are not having a good marriage, then wisdom would say, I need to get to know this couple better. And we have lots of those opportunities, again, in our small group opportunities on Sunday mornings. When school starts up again, we'll be putting together some Wednesday night groups. And from time to time, we have people that meet in their homes and that sort of thing. But wisdom, the pursuit of wisdom, would say, there's something you have that I need. I need you in my life. And generally, our groups don't address the subject of marriage, but you just start hanging out more often with people that have good marriages, it will rub off on you. You'll notice how they interact differently than you do. Same thing with parenting. Again, we seem to get our advice from the wrong people. If we're struggling in the, you know, area of marriage, I hear this over and over and over again, how somebody's struggling with in the area of marriage, and it seems like their counselors are people that either aren't married or have a worse marriage than they do. That's not wise. Wisdom would pursue somebody that has something better or knows something more than I know. And the same thing with parenting. Again, if you want and you're struggling in that area, again, there's some people that have raised some kind of outstanding now adults. They might know something about parenting because they've done that. They've done it well. And again, that's not an indictment then. If something went, you know, you could be a good parent and just some young people decide to go their own way anyway. So that's not a slam on anybody. But I'm saying if you're looking for wisdom, find an area of money. Again, there's people that we can go to. There's books, there's resources. That's pursuing wisdom. Wisdom, I want everybody to visualize a target. Okay? You know, like a bullseye and then the rings that go out around a target. Some of you, you know, gun people and hunters, you know, you've shot at targets. Everybody understand a target? Okay. The bullseye represents your life. Okay? And then the rings around the bullseye represent different layers of relationships in your life. Wisdom is this: where you put people in proximity to the bullseye. Because the people that are closest to the bullseye, that ring that's just outside, that circle that's right outside the bullseye, they have the most influence on your life. And then there's other people that you have relationship with, but they're not as close to you, and you don't spend as much time with them, and then they're in that next layer. And then there's another layer and another layer. What I'm saying is wisdom is knowing where to move people in your relationship target. There's some people, now look, you know, there's family members and lifelong friends. I'm not telling you to stop having relationship with them. What I'm saying is they're having too much influence on your life in a negative way, and you just need to move them maybe one ring away from the center. Or maybe two rings away from the center. And there's people that are way out there in the fringes of your life that you need to be spending more time with, and you need to find ways to move them closer to the target, closer to the bullseye. Does that make sense to you? We need to every once in a while evaluate who are we spending time with. There's some people I'm spending too much time with, and it's rubbing off on me in a negative way. In my marriage, or my parenting, or you know what? I've got these horrible addictions in my life, and they only reinforce those and keep me addicted. And there's other people that are where I want to be, and I need to find a way to move them closer. I need to move towards them and move other people. I need to reduce my exposure to certain people. Does that sound mean? But what did the proverb say? We need to highly value, and we need to be pursuing wisdom. And if you do so, it will promote you. If you do so, come on, it will pay rich dividends in your life. Let's go to Proverbs. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, spring the issues of life. It's a heart thing. In fact, why don't you say that out loud with me? It's a heart thing. Say it again. It's a heart thing. One more time. It's a heart thing. What comes out of your heart affects all of your life. Because Jesus said it this way, that out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. Now what you're saying as a normal course of your life has a tremendous influence on the outcomes of your life. What's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth, and you're really going to expose and you're going to reveal yourself. And so to change the results of my life, I can't just change external things. I'm going to have to change internal things because it's a heart thing. It's a heart matter. For out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth speaks. But the Proverbs in verse 20 says, guard your heart, for out of it, out of your heart, springs the issues of life. As a matter of fact, the New Living Translation says it this way, above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything that you do. In Genesis 4, the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? And why has your countenance fallen? You remember Cain and Abel? Remember Abel offered a sacrifice that was acceptable to God, and Cain's offering was unacceptable. Don't want to teach on that. And Cain ended up killing his brother Abel. Before he did so, the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. But Genesis 4:7, God said to Cain, and its desire, sin's desire is for you, but you should rule over it. It's a heart thing. The Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, you'll be accepted. If you don't do well, sin's lying at the door. And I'm just telling you, we all are the doorkeeper of our own heart. It's up to us to allow or disallow or to prohibit what comes in and out of our life, out of our heart. The proverb said that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. So I keep pointing towards my belly, which is a lot easier to do than it used to be when I was younger. But some of you caught that. All right. But I have to guard my heart, because sin's always lying at the door of my heart. But to do right is always there also. And I am allowing or prohibiting what's coming into my life. It goes back to the wisdom thing. It's a heart thing. In Acts 5, Peter said to Ananias, remember Ananias and Sapphira? You remember they had a piece of property, they sold it, and told everybody, we gave all the money to the church. Which they didn't. They lied. They didn't have to lie, they just did. They wanted people to think they were big shots. So they sold property, which was theirs. It wasn't required of them to give away all the money to the church. But they had seen somebody else do it, and they saw how people thought that was a big deal, and they wanted in on the party. And so they told people, they conspired together, let's just use numbers. Let's just tell people we sold this property for $20,000. Okay? But they really got $50,000. They gave $20,000 to the church, which is kind of a big deal. So people went, yay, Ananias and Sapphira, aren't they so generous? Yeah! They could have given $20,000 and everything would have been fine. But they told everybody they sold it for $20,000 and gave it all. In fact, they sold it for $50,000 and gave $20,000. Are you following me? It's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. It wasn't the amount. Come on, somebody. It wasn't the amount. It was the fact that they felt like they needed to lie so other people would think more of them. And Peter said to Ananias, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? I want you to think about this. It's startling to think that Jesus had 12 apostles, 12 disciples that walked with Him every single day, lived with Him, ate with Him, watched the miracles. They went out and performed miracles in His name. And one of them, Satan was able to get into his heart. And Judas betrayed the Lord and then ended up committing suicide, after he realized what he had done. He didn't even find repentance in his heart. He found regret. It was a heart thing. Startling to think that Judas' heart could be turned away from Jesus. Satan's entrance into your life is an inside job. As long as you keep trying to blame other people and blame other things, and that's so easy to do in the world that we live in today, because the world that we live in today, it's always somebody else's fault. Come on. But I'm telling you to pursue wisdom. Don't go the way of the world. Don't go there. Don't make it somebody else's fault. Don't make it beyond your control. Because that's not what the Bible teaches. I'm teaching you to pursue wisdom and to guard your heart, because that's really what's affecting the things that are going on in your life. What's happening to your heart is manifesting in your words and in your actions. And your words and actions have consequences, and those are the results primarily that you're getting. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 20. Here's the answer. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them, their health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence. for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Zach Johnson, first thing out of his mouth, being interviewed after he won the most prestigious sporting event in the world. He just said, I just felt so good and I was so patient. And I just had scriptures going through my mind. Man, he was practicing what I'm preaching today. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them, and their health to all your flesh. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart springs the issues of life. When you're under pressure, what's in you is coming out of you. Pursue wisdom. Pursue God's Word. One of the reasons we've revamped Daily Chapel is just to make God's Word more readily accessible to you. So many people have no idea where to start in God's Word. Well, start there. Start there every morning. It posts at 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe at 4. For you really early risers. We don't get up and post it. They have these magical things that you can do with a computer now, and it will load it up for the whole week. And you can open, there's a prayer there. There's scripture there. There's a slot there where it asks you to pray for other people. You can repeat the Lord's Prayer and pray the Lord's Prayer daily, and then it closes with a blessing. And I'm just telling you, pursue wisdom. Incline your ear to the Word of God so that when you're in a high-pressure situation, the right thing comes out of you. God's Word will come out of you. When you're under financial pressure, you know that my God supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, because that's what you put in you. You know that greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You know that nothing can separate you from the love of God because you put God's Word in you. You know that all things are going to work together for good because you do love God and you are called according to His purpose, and you put that in you. You know that in all things He's caused you to overcome. That He always leads you in triumph. Come on, somebody. Because you put God's Word in you, you know these things. That when you have an opportunity to speak for the Lord, you know that the words are just going to be there because Jesus said, don't even worry about what to say in that moment. In that moment, I'll give you the words. And because you put that Word in you, the words are there for you. That's wisdom. We have a thing on our website, and we have cards out there called Go To Scriptures. And they cover the major areas of life that most people have trouble with. And when you have trouble in those areas, you need to have God's Word in your heart so that it would guard your heart, so that you would say and do something that would be favorable to your situation. Don't ever lose sight of God's Word. Read it. Keep God's Word in your hearing. You're here right now, pursuing wisdom. You're hearing the Word of God taught and preached, and it's affecting your heart in a positive way. Look at Deuteronomy 30, and we're going to close with this. I love this passage. In the first few verses of Deuteronomy, he's talking about all the blessings that God wants to lead these people into, and how things will go well for them. And they'll be increased, and their enemies will be, they'll be protected from their enemies, and they'll be blessed and not cursed. They'll be fruitful in, you know, their occupation. And people want to know how. How can I acquire? How can I attain these things? Verse 11. Deuteronomy 30. For this commandment which I command you today, it's not mysterious. It's not too mysterious for you. Nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. Are you following this? Sometimes we think that the answer that we need is just beyond our reach. It's a mystery that we'll never solve. You know, that we're not in a position like other people to attain it because it's too far away and we don't have the resources to get there. I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth. You know, I don't have 150 IQ. So this, I don't, you know, I'm not really great at understanding the Bible like other people seem to be. So all of this promise from God is way beyond me, but that's not what God says. God said, this is not too mysterious for you. It's not too far away. It's not out of your reach. It's an effort that you can make and expect results. So quit saying, I don't understand, or this is too hard, or I don't have the right resources, I don't have the right background. That's not true. All of this abundant life, this flourishing, is available to every single person. Every person. It is within our reach. It's not an unsolvable mystery. But here it is. Verse 14. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away, if your heart turns away, so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land in which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Choose life today. And it's easier than harder. It's near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. If you begin to hide God's word, the psalmist, Psalm 119, I've hid your word in my heart, O Lord, that I might not sin against you. As you begin to meditate, as you begin to Zach Johnson it and just keep scriptures going on in your mind, then you're going to be choosing life. You're going to be making better decisions. You're going to have better things coming out of your mouth. How many of your mouth has just ever gotten you into trouble? Come on, somebody. But you know, your mouth can also bring you the victory. Your mouth can also chase trouble away. James 4:7 says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Pursue wisdom. Get some older people in your life. Some wiser people in your life. And if you're older, get some younger people in your life. Make sure that you are regularly, systematically putting God's Word before your eyes and in your ears. And make a commitment to being a doer of God's Word and not a hearer only. I'll close it like this. The psalmist said in Psalm 19:14, What a great prayer and confession. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. May that be yours today, that you would bless God with your mouth and meditate upon His Word in your heart. I've got even better news for you today, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and you confess with your mouth that God raised Him again from the dead, you shall be saved. You know how you get saved? You know how you're born again? You know how you become a child of God? It's a heart thing. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. And salvation comes. So, if you're not confident of your relationship with the Lord today, I've got great news for you today. If you believe and confess, you can be saved. We're going to give you that opportunity right now. But everybody stand up to your feet to be dismissed today. And if you want to call on the name of the Lord Jesus and be saved, while everybody else is walking out through the exits, would you walk down forward and allow us to pray with you and lead you in a prayer of confession of Jesus, Savior, Lord of your life. Or if you have other needs in your life, we'd be happy to pray with you. Let me just speak a word of blessing over you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord protect you from evil and direct your steps towards good today. May you be filled with His peace that passes understanding, and joy inexpressible, full of glory, throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. God bless you. We love you. God bless you.